I woke up for work and I was like, not only am I ready for work, I'm excited for work because I'm not hungover. I'm still drunk. There's no better way to deal with spreadsheets than with a warm, fuzzy buzz going on.
Nikki, it's your mother. No, you never call me. I mean, I wonder, is your finger broken?
Just don't tell my mother.
It's your mother.
Mother.
No, you never call me.
Just don't tell my mother. Just don't.
Where the hell are you? You are never home.
Hello, my family. Welcome to Don't Tell My Mother. I am your host, Nikki Levy, and I am so happy to be here with you. Don't Tell My Mother is a brand new podcast where your favorite humans from TV, movies, sports, comedy, tell a true story they'd never want their moms to know. And then they spill the tea to their mothers. We have an awesome guest today. She is the quintessential Jewish drag queen from New York City. I'm talking about Ms. Cracker. Ms. Cracker killed it on season 10 of RuPaul's Drag Race. She is a fabulous gay rights activist and feminist activist, and she has an amazing podcast out I want you guys to check out. It's called She's a Woman. Listen wherever you get your podcasts. Ms. Cracker is telling a story about drinking her way to the top in corporate America. We expect no less. And then she's bringing on a very special guest who's known her longer and better than anyone else. And longer is better, so they say. Here is my special guest, Ms. Cracker.
Just don't tell my mother. Just don't.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ms. Cracker, the first thing I have to tell you is I'm stripping for those of us who can't see, but I wore this shirt specifically for you, which says, Oy vey, I'm gay.
Yay! I love it.
I mean, you're looking at my rack, but try just to look at the letters. See this?
Hello, somebody. Yes.
Isn't that great?
There's a whole new phrase for a whole new meaning for off the rack, you know?
Well, Ms. Cracker, I'm so happy to be here with you. I wish I could be with you face to face in real life, but, you know, COVID. So do me a favor, tell everyone where you are right now.
I am in Harlem. I think you can probably hear the sirens in the background.
Yes, I do.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, that means it's called ambiance, not ambulance.
Well, this podcast is all about stories we don't want our moms to know. And I know you have a good one. But before we get to it, I want to know more about your mother. Can you tell me a little bit about the first time she saw you in drag?
She first saw me in drag when I first did drag. Well, in person or on photographs?
Either way.
I sent her pictures immediately the very first day that I did drag. And it was for a marriage equality demonstration in Times Square. Broad daylight,
no way.
Middle of the winter. And I was wearing this big David's bridal wedding dress and an Amy Winehouse wig. And I sent her the pictures, and she was like, wow, you know, she just, I think she thought it was crazy in a good way, and which is, you know, sort of a theme for my life, crazy in a good way.
Crazy in a good way is the best way to be.
Yeah.
This might be the Jewiest episode we have. The Jewier, the better for me.
Right. Oh, absolutely.
What was Judaism like in your house that it played such a big role in, you know, who you are now as an adult?
The holidays were a huge part of our life, especially Hanukkah, because it was my family's answer to the rest of the family's Christmas. But mostly it was the history of our family that I learned, you know, through our father, that we escaped from Europe at just the right time as a family. And culturally, for my father, it was so important for me to understand that whether or not I knew about my Jewishness, it was going to be a part of my life. So I should probably learn about it.
I saw an interview between you and Michelle Visage, one of the illustrious judges on RuPaul's Drag Race, and you talked about feeling different. And I totally relate to that. How did you feel different growing up?
Oh, well, I mean, particularly with my Jewishness, like a lot of kids on the playground would tell my sister and I that we were going to hell. That's what their parents had told them. And aside from the Jewishness, we were a very creative family. So my sister and I were always making things, crafting things out of recycled materials so that we could make our own world because we didn't really have plastic toys like a lot of other kids did.
Did you also make clothes? Because I know you are a fabulous seamstress and you made a lot of clothes for Drag Race.
We made a lot of clothes. We had this particular event that we went to every year called Chaos in the Grass. And it was a family occasion. And what we did is we just made these elaborate hot glued together costumes, my sister and I. And we would appear like looking like these wild sort of topsy turvy creatures for the family occasion. And it was really like people would look forward to seeing what we did, what would have feathers glued on it this time, you know. I think that that creativity and the Jewishness together, which of course, obviously they often go hand in hand, that set us apart, And ultimately it wasn't a bad thing because it led me on an interesting path.
So like, maybe like drag began in the chaos in the grass.
Yeah, I think drag definitely began there. Yeah.
So I'm sure everyone knows this because you are beloved, but of course you were, you know, in Drag Race season, was it season 10?
That's right.
Amazing. And what was your favorite costume that you wore, whether you made it or not? What was your like most fabulous favorite outfit?
Oh, my pickle, That was my, yes. It was an off the rack pickle costume, but it brought so much joy to people and it brought a lot of joy to me.
So wonderful. I used to have a pickle shirt that said, I'm a big deal.
Yeah. Right. And that's how I felt.
So you're here to tell us a story, and I know it is a very boozy one. Tell me everything, Cracker.
This is the story of how I changed jobs and didn't know it. I was living in New York City, and I was working as an assistant at a book club, which is essentially like Columbia House. They send you a book every month, and if you don't send it back, it's yours and you pay for it. And the whole idea is that you get deep discounts for buying a book every month.
So this is for like major like book lovers in New York.
For major book lovers in New York and around the country. Mm-hmm. And I was working and I was a mess because my job was intensely hard. It was all spreadsheets and data entry. And as you know, for creative people, that stuff can be very hard.
Yeah, this is not meshing with the pickle costume already. It's,
Right, exactly. I was sitting in a cubicle and a sea of cubicles, and it just wasn't, you know, like I was not shining the way I wanted to be or the way that every cis gay man believes he's supposed to. Anyway, so one of the ways that I would refresh my spirit is every Tuesday night, there was this straight bar stuck in the middle of the gay neighborhood in Chelsea, and they had a weekly event called Flip Tuesdays. And Flip Tuesdays was this night where the bartender would flip a coin, and if you could call heads or tails correctly, you could get a free drink.
Wow.
Yeah.
How did you find out about Flip Tuesdays?
I found out about Flip Tuesdays because, let's be frank, I was at that straight bar every night. And
for what? What were you doing in a straight bar? Were you out at this time?
I was out at this time, but I preferred the company of the people that used to throw beer bottles at me in junior high for some reason, you know?
Self-loathing. Get you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I'm with you.
So,
I'm with you.
It was a place to go and be left alone, I think, was the thing. And that's what I wanted. Because, you know, if you go to a gay bar, invariably someone's going to try to strike up a conversation with you. And at a straight bar, you're more likely to be left alone if you're reading.
So you would go to the straight bar and drink and read.
I would go to the straight bar and drink and read The New Yorker.
You crazy girl.
You know what? And as I'm saying it, it sounds so great right now. That's it just sounds like a really great evening.
Introverts unite.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah. Introvert on the streets. And when I'm a lady, I'm extroverted. But when I'm a guy, I'm introverted. So I figured out a way to sort of cheat the universe. And what I would do is when the bartender flipped a coin, I would flip my own coin, my own lucky coin that I brought. And I found that more often than not, they matched up. And so I would just call whatever was on my coin. And in that way, I was able to get just shit wrecked every Tuesday night.
So every Tuesday night you were gaming the system, but just because you were good, like you were coordinated and you were like, he's going to flip that bitch. I'm going to flip that bitch.
Exactly. Yeah.
Wow, that's impressive. I got to be honest.
And I was drinking Blue Moon at the time. So you can imagine it's very, very filling, but I powered through.
Yeah.
That's what I did on the beginning of this story. That's where this story begins. It begins on a flip Tuesday because I got trashed on this particular Tuesday. And the next day I woke up for work and I was like, you know what? Not only am I ready for work, I'm excited for work because I'm not hungover. I'm still drunk. And at that time, I was like, there's no better way to deal with spreadsheets than with a warm, fuzzy buzz going on.
Right. I'm perfectly equipped to do my job.
Exactly.
Loaded.
So I went into work and I sat down at my desk and I was doing my thing. And I was like, I hope my breath doesn't smell, when I heard behind me the footsteps of my youngest boss. And she came up to me. And I was like, oh, no, I've been discovered. And she said, can I speak to you in my office for a minute? And I was like, oh, no, it's over. She knows that I'm drunk at work today and not unusually, you know, like, and that's not an unusual situation. So she called me into her office and she was like, you know what? It's kind of come to my attention that we haven't gone out to lunch together as a manager and employee before. And I was like, phew, okay. She's like, I'd like to take you out and maybe we'll even have a drink.
Oh, God, no.
So I was like, that now this day is looking up. So we went out to this upscale version of an Irish pub, which if you know New York City, you know you can throw a rock and hit an Irish pub in Midtown at any time. So we go in. And of course, I have a beer. My boss encourages me. She's like, you know, treat yourself like, you know, this is our special lunch. So I have a couple of beers. And then it gets to the point where she's had a couple of beers. So then we start doing those things where drop a shot into whatever the beer is. And that's the drink. Like you're doing.
Yeah.
You're making your own thing, you know,
right. Like, and you're crafty. So
and I'm crafty. I love to put some things together. We had like Irish car bombs and everything. And then we went back to the office and I was just blazed and hoping to make it through the rest of the day. By the time I get back to my office, I am twofold blazed because I came in drunk and now I'm even more drunk. It is just like I can feel one Penn South building just swaying. And I realize I've really gotten myself in a situation and I'm thinking the best case scenario for me is I can just get through this day. And I'm just thinking that when I hear footsteps behind me again, and this time it is my older, much more straight-laced and strict manager. She brought me back to her office and she was like, you know, been here for about a year, you know how things work and I think it's time for a change. And I was like, looked out at my lap and I was like, oh my God, I'm gonna get fired. Then I looked up and she was like, well, you know, that's why you have to be so careful in the city as a young gay man and, you know, just be extra careful. I had to learn the hard way from the experiences of my gay friends. And I was like, oh my God, did I miss something? And I realized that in this meeting with my boss, I had blacked out and missed a whole section of the conversation.
Uh-oh.
She had gone on to talk about some kind of warning about gay life in the city. But I don't know what had happened. Was I fired?
Right.
Was I on warning? Was there some kind of reprimand? What had happened in the middle of all that? And she says, you know, I think, you know, we're pretty clear on what you need to do and what needs to happen today. And I was like, okay, you're right. And I walked out just bewildered and sat down at my desk. And I was like, do I pack everything up? Am I out of here? Does it need to be now? Is the security guard going to come? And just at that moment, I hear footsteps one more time. And it's my younger boss. And she says, well, congratulations on being promoted to a new position. Do you need a list of all the new responsibilities that you have? And I was like, Absolutely not. I, of course, remember from the meeting, and I think we're clear on everything.
Just don't tell my mother.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
So you got promoted while you were blacked out in your boss's office?
I got promoted in my boss's office, yep. I had to then Sherlock Holmes my way around the office and figure out what I had been promoted to and what my new position was all about. And I was now an editor at the book clubs, and I was in charge of a lot more. And it was really wild.
And did you continue to go to Flip Tuesday?
Oh, absolutely. Because, you know, it got me promoted.
If it works, keep going.
Right. Exactly.
How did this change your life? How did the experience of getting this promotion, getting fucked up, thinking you were going to be fired, getting the promotion, how did it like affect your change your life?
Oh, nothing can change the life of a drinker.
Let me just ask you this. Were you a wild kid growing up? You grew up in Seattle, right?
I grew up in Seattle and I was not a wild kid. I was one of those kids that even though I was in drama class, the parties that I went to were all clean and sober and I was home by 10 p.m. no matter what.
So you were not a drinker or a...
I was not a drinker. I didn't have my first drink until I was in college.
Wow. So when you moved to New York, did you do... Because I'm from New York. Did you do the thing that everyone does when they aren't from New York and they're gay, which is they go fucking apeshit crazy and party all the time?
Absolutely. But it was just like, it was me by myself. So it wasn't like a queer as folk montage of me running around at the Babylon with my best friends. It was literally just me at the straight bars, ordering my Blue Moon and living my life, meeting strangers and coming to work either drunk or hungover.
Now, I know your mother does not know this story, but you told me ahead of time that it was okay for us to give her a ring. Is that still okay?
That sounds great to me.
All right, let's call your mother. Mama Cracker!
Hi!
Now, I know you have a different name. What should I call you? I'm Nikki.
Call me Hamster.
Hamster!
How did you get the name Hamster?
I stand with my hands kind of like this together, down low. They called it hamster hands. That was part of the story.
Yeah, she has hamster hands when she stands.
Wow. Well, Hamster, I'm so happy to meet you. I love Miss Cracker. I love Miss Cracker so much. We just had a lot of Jewish fun together.
Good.
And Goyish fun. I think both. Miss Cracker told us a story of getting promoted in New York. And I want Miss Cracker just to tell you because it's very funny. And they're just going to give you a little snippet of it.
Okay.
All right. So, Hamster, here's the story. Well, you remember Flip Tuesdays at Flight 151, where if you flip a coin...
Take me there.
I didn't take you there? No. You heard about it.
But that wasn't a drag show.
No.
It was a straight bar.
It was a straight bar. Oh, you never took me to straight bars.
No. Oh, my God. I can't believe I didn't take you to Flip Tuesday. Well, I mean, we're going to have to fix that when you come to New York next. Anyway, there was this one particular Flip Tuesday when I was working at the book clubs.
Okay.
And I got so trashed that I woke up in the morning still drunk when I went to go to work.
But I'm getting the feel of this story.
Yeah. And my boss came up behind me and was like, you know, it's come to my attention that we haven't gone to lunch as employee and manager yet.
Okay.
So she took me out to lunch and she got me a couple of beers.
Oh, great. Couldn't used to not be able to handle two beers.
Right, exactly. And then we went back to the office and I was just blazed and hoping to make it through the rest of the day. And I heard footsteps behind me again. And this time it was my other manager. And she was like, you've been here for about a year. You know how things work. And I think it's time for a change. And I was like, looked down at my lap and I was like, oh my God, I'm going to get fired. And I realized that in this meeting with my boss, I had blacked out and missed a whole section of the conversation.
Oh no.
And I had no idea whether I was being reprimanded or fired or put on probation or whatever. And she was like, so are you clear on all your new responsibilities and your new position now that you've been promoted?
So he got promoted instead of fired.
I'm not surprised, but...
I told Cracker, I said, you are very smart. And I said, you must have gotten this from somewhere. What is your secret for raising such a menschy kid?
Oh, that's easy. You just let them go and you learn from them. I just followed him around and went, oh my.
What was Cracker like as a kid?
Absolutely wonderful. And that's
no way.
No, really not bad. Not getting into trouble. Always called when he was going to be later than the curfew. Just a good kid.
Ms. Cracker, is there a time that you remember being wild as a kid where your mom caught you or didn't catch you?
Oh, my wildest time was when I went to see a play at a senior center and I was like 30 minutes late from the curfew, I think. And Hamster was like, don't do that. You'll worry me. And I think that's as close as we got to wild behavior. I just was not a wild kid.
Are you surprised or did you have some indication that Ms. Cracker would grow up to be this fabulous drag queen?
Totally surprised. No idea.
Really?
Yeah.
How come?
Because I didn't know about drag queens.
Oh.
I was not surprised that Cracker appeared. And yeah. I didn't know she was going to appear till she did. But when she did, I recognized her and I recognized that as being part of Max.
Always
a ham, always a little crazy, crazy costumes, crazy acts, stuff like that.
Yeah. What was a crazy costume that you remember?
Oh,
that she made?
The trash can one.
Tell me.
The trash can one.
Yeah, you know, when you had the trash cans, Sylvia wore a trash can hat and you wore... And the kind of wings you made. And
was that for Chaos in the Grass?
I think that was a Chaos in the Grass.
How did Miss Cracker get to be this crafty? Are you very crafty too?
Oh, very crafty, yes.
Oh, so they had
They had lots of access to materials. And there's always trash. In fact, mostly of, that's why I called it your trash can thing. Most of what you were wearing was trash.
Ms. Cracker, you are trash.
Yeah, I am. I'm trash from the ground up.
When did you realize Max was gay?
I don't know. Did she ever come out?
I don't think so.
It was such a long, long thing. I went, well, I guess when he figures it out and he's ready.
Oh, my gosh.
Then we just ignored it. And he'd talk about going out with some guy and you didn't call it a date. And you didn't call it anything. You didn't call yourself anything. You went out with men and girls and you just had fun.
That's right. That's nailed it. Yeah.
So he never actually came out and said, I'm gay. I mean,
yeah.
Sort of knew.
How are you turning into your mom? How are you turning into Hamster?
Oh, I always, the way I look at myself in the mirror, I'll stand to the side and suck my stomach in. Yeah. check my waist and check my butt. I'll catch myself doing it and I'll realize that that's exactly
that's
my mother used to look in the mirror. Yeah.
Actually diminishes the butt, suck in the waist, you know.
Yeah.
You'll give me lessons, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the only way to look in the mirror.
Hamster, what do you think the best piece of advice is or the best thing that you taught Miss Cracker growing up? Like maybe the most important thing.
The most important thing?
Yeah.
Right, Max? To your own self, be true.
That's right.
And the hard part on that, of course, is you know, you got to figure out what that self is.
Who are you now, Miss Cracker? Because I think that's a wonderful point, Hamster, and I think that's an evolving question.
I learned that I'm an evolving, changing person. And, you know, now I'm a maker. That's what I realized. That's what I am. I'm a maker, and I stay true to that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. From everything, right? Costumes and performance and writing.
And writing. And yeah, that's how I explore the world.
Well, Cracker, you are just a lovable love.
Thank you, lady. I had a really great time.
It's just really nice, this Zoom thing, that I can see my son. I usually just watch my Cracker on Instagram. So thank you.
Yeah.
I love being with moms and their kids are like my favorite thing in the world. Like seeing people that are so talented and like where they came from is my joy in life. And I see why Miss Cracker is just the superstar that she is, you know, and the queen that she is. So thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Oh.
Hamster, Miss Cracker, will you guys take us out? If it's not one thing,
it's your mother.
I hope you enjoyed this episode hanging with me and Ms. Cracker and Ms. Cracker's mommy, Ms. Hamster. If you did, subscribe to Don't Tell My Mother wherever you get your podcasts. And please follow us on Instagram at Don't Tell My Mother. We can't wait to see you soon. Mwah!
Don't Tell My Mother is created, hosted, and executive produced by Nikki Levy, my daughter. The show is executive produced by John Cryer. Oh my God, I love him. And Lisa Joyner and Jody Zuckerman Weiner at Discount Sushi. Our producer is Liza Glukoft. Co-producer, Andrew Condon. Engineered and edited by Kiana Williams. Mixed and edited by Donovan Bullen. Theme song by Donovan Bullen and Joe McKenzie. Distributed by Acast. Now go call your mothers.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.